He's not done. Don't throw in the towel yet. As a matter of fact, don't ever throw in the towel. It's not worth it. Praise God. A couple real quick announcements here. Today is War on the Floor. If you haven't got your prayer request in, you'll give it to the usher in the back here at this point, and he'll get it to me. Also, this coming Saturday, remember to turn back your clock, or spring ahead, I'm sorry. Yeah, I really mess y'all up, won't I? Spring forward, so that you can be in church on time next week. Also, if you're interested in membership, please mark your calendars for new members class on 3/20 at 4 p.m. in the conference room. Let myself or Angela know. We already have a couple people who have already told us. Now, there's one thing I did, and this is kind of a public service announcement. For those of you that have phones, that you keep getting all these calls, it looks like it says a Chesterville number. You know, I've gotten them from people that I actually knew they existed. Telemarketer calls, it's called spoofing, where they'll use somebody else's number, and they'll call you. Well, that's illegal in the state of Ohio now. And so they can actually go after them. They could not do anything before because it wasn't illegal. Last week, they passed a law in the state of Ohio, and it is illegal. They gave some recommendations, and I wanted to throw these out here. First off, don't even answer them. That's what they said. Do not, don't, just kill the cat now. Just kill it. And if you do, don't say anything. Because they record your words. And the word they love is yes. Do not confirm anything with them. Do not give them any information. Just don't hang up. If I had my phone, I'd show y'all how to do this. And this will help you come in handy real quick. If you're ever in church and you forgot to turn off your phone, you do not need to pull it out and look at it. I usually keep mine in my pocket, right? Squeeze the sides where your volume controls are at. That silences it. Every phone is the same, I promise you. Just do it. You don't have to, oh, geez. You know, my ringtone's Iron Man. You know, a lot of super religious type would crucify me for that. Kind of sacrilegious, they'd say. But, you know, I don't want to be trying to pull out my phone, trying to get it out and fumbling around, and I can't find it. Just squeeze your phone. It'll help you out. Because I know, your phone's ringing. Who's calling? By the way, you can silence it, and it's still ringing, and you can see who it is. Just throwing that part out there to you. But I wanted to, do not even take the call. If you don't know the number, don't take the call. I had somebody call me last week, and I know it was the Holy Spirit told me to answer it, and it was somebody that I actually knew, but it wasn't their name. It was somebody else's. So I was like, glad I answered that. So let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for that glorious day we had yesterday, the nice weather we're having yet even today. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, it is the blood, sweat, and tears of our labor. But Father, we know because we honor you, you bless that labor. And it is not sweet sorrows, it is just sweet. Now, Father, bless it according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Take your sleeve up. It's not sliding. She looked at me, you're crazy. Praise God. I am not amazed when I see the news and see what God is doing for the people in Ukraine when God's people all begin to start to pray. Missiles are falling places they weren't supposed to be. They're just falling hard. They don't know where they go. Tanks are running out of fuel. Now, you need to understand something. Putin is not an idiot. He's not going to send in his tanks and not have fuel trucks behind them. But yet they're running out of fuel. They're getting lost. In a day where they could tell me right where I'm standing inside this building because of my cell phone, these guys are getting lost. I even saw some footage of a captured Russian soldier. He got lost, separated from his rest of his troops, and he was captured by Ukrainian civilians. Well, you know, they did what all of us would have done. They tied him down and beat him, right? No. They gave him food, gave him water. Somebody even said, here, use my phone and call your mama in Russia. See, now I unfortunately had to unfriend somebody on Facebook the other day. I don't like doing it. But first off, when you start speaking out against Israel, you're an idiot, in my opinion. You take your life in your own hands. I don't care if I agree with Israel's policies or not. That's not the point. The point is, God said, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. He didn't say whether Israel was right or wrong. Okay? So I unfriended him. I'm like, I'm sick of the garbage. I've been listening to it for years. I don't care who Q is. If you're following Q, I think you're deceived. Sorry. Q is probably just somebody else who says, watch how many lemmings I can get to go off the cliff. I don't know. Okay? But anyhow, I just had to do it because you're cursing Israel by claiming that Israel, and oh, by the way, they're supporting Russia. That was what really, I'm like, are you kidding me? Russia is an oppressive country. I was in Kiev. Russian monuments were still standing. If it had been me, I'd have blown them all up. I'd have tore them down. But they still had Russian, all their war memorials standing all over the country to remind those people who they were. Not the people, that Russia would come in and we will dominate you. And I have to tell you, the oppression that I felt in that country, in Crimea region and up towards Kiev, it was astronomical. I couldn't believe the oppressive spirit that is on that country over there because of this. And I have to say that even some of their own policies, it kind of backfired on them. Well, none of you can have firearms. Well, now they don't have an army big enough, and they're having to train their civilians on how to shoot weapons. But God is faithful. God is moving on that country. He is protecting those people. The interpreter that I talked about last week told you could be praying for her and Irina, the one that's in Kiev, and I'll call it Kiev because that's what I was brought up calling it. It's kind of hard to call it Kiev, but she has been orchestrating people to get people out of Russia, or out of Ukraine right now, to over to Romania and other countries. She's been working on getting transportation for all these refugees. She's still there. She's still doing this. And she's one I shared a post the other day, for those of you that are on Facebook and you saw that. That is her. She goes by Luda. It's Luda. Ludima, Ludimo, Serenko, or something like that. She said, call me Luda. I said, thank you. I can do that. But anyhow, God is moving. God is moving in this country as well. Listen, I actually got my face slapped yesterday. I was like, I'm going to go put some gas in my truck. Pulled up there, and I put my card in and pulled the thing. I was like, are you serious? This went up 10 cents since I went by here 2 hours ago. And God reminded me, he said, don't complain about it. Thank me that you can put the gas in your vehicle. Thank me. So that's what I encouraged. I honestly felt like telling the other guys, they had these small little tiny SUV thingies on either side of me, and I pull up my truck. And I was going to tell him, say, hey, if y'all hear any weeping over here, just ignore it. I'm just putting fuel in my truck. Which I'm thanking God it's not diesel. Yeah, don't tell me somebody's not trying to break the country. The diesel is the backbone of our trucking industry, our farming industry, every industry we have in this country. So don't think that somebody's not trying. I want the devil to say, why won't that country break? And I'm going to say, because God's people are standing. He's going to apply pressure. The Antichrist is here. You need to understand it, and it's been here since Jesus. But we do not have to play the game. We are in it, but we do not have to succumb to the rhetoric of, oh, this is going to happen. Yeah, I know what food prices are going to. Well, it's all because we put the smack down on Russia. It's $500,000 barrels. And by the way, they're not oil drums. They're barrels. They're 33 gallons. They're smaller. I had to ask a friend in the oil field about that. I said, what's the difference? And he told me. Go figure. It's not really that much when you consider how much we consume in this country. So don't ever go look at that. It's greed. It's greed in the world. Does anybody remember back when the gas prices really started climbing in the early 2000s and Shell and BP and all those guys came out and said, we have record-breaking quarters again. Well, if you're having record-breaking profits, how about backing off a little bit on the price? You're the one that set it. The gas station didn't. Craig up here didn't set the price. The oil company that sold it to him did. Remember to be praying. Don't be getting mad at the people at the register. They don't control that. That's just so you know, when you act like that, that's arrogance. We're going to talk about that very soon. Very soon. When we think that the guy who's behind the counter making $6 an hour has it in for us, we have the problem. Exactly. So, but today though, I wanted to, we're going to look at something today that kind of goes right along in with what I started off with, because that really was not part of the message. Is Messiah. Interesting word, isn't it? You throw the word prophet on the back of it, and it's a really cool Christian rock and roll band. My favorite of all time. But Messiah. Well, okay. It's our word Messiah is not Hebrew. That's the transliterated version of it. The Hebrew word is Mashiach. And what it means is anointed one, deliverer, but primarily anointed one. It's interesting. There's also a Greek word that is used in our Bible called Christ. And the Greek word is Christos. And it means anointed one. So when you say Jesus Christ, it's not his last name. Get people to figure this out. It's Yeshua, the anointed one. That's who Jesus is. And so we say, well, okay, he was anointed. He was anointed as the deliverer. Well, that's kind of what Moses was, wasn't he? He was the great deliverer. God had to talk to him out of a bush. We see throughout time in the Bible where priests were anointed, kings were anointed, prophets were anointed. But where does it say, where does it show when Jesus was anointed? He wasn't anointed at birth as Messiah, okay? He was brought to the temple on the eighth day, as was tradition, and then they circumcised the poor guy. And then he was anointed before they buried him, right? They started putting the herbs and stuff to preserve his body after he was dead. Prepared his body for death. Well, you're not a deliverer if you're dead. It had to be done while you were alive. So there's a couple things we want to look at this morning. Let me get my glasses on. So Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 47. Well, there's a point here in which Jesus was in Simon's house. Simon was a Pharisee. Jesus was sitting in his house, and this woman comes in, and she's crying. And we're going to read the account. Then he turned, as you were, let me finish telling the story, because I forgot I cut it off before the story. She comes in and she's crying, and she's weeping, and she's standing before him, and tears are running down her face. She kneels down at his dirty feet. You know how we know they're dirty? Because if you've already looked and scanned the scripture up here, he said, I came in your house, you didn't even give me something to wash my feet. Jesus' feet were dirty, and her tears were coming out so hard. I have seen people wail, but I have never seen anybody cry enough where you could wash somebody's feet. And then she turned around and she took her hair. Ladies, any guys in here long enough hair, if you can imagine taking your hair and wiping their feet, drying their feet with your hair. But she just continued. And then she took this alabaster box full of spikenard. Nard was was made from a root from a plant called nard. And it came from India, and it was packaged in these alabaster boxes, which is a very fragile, almost translucent stone. And it says she broke this over his feet, and she washed his feet. She anointed his feet. And she's crying, and she's crying. And the people sitting around, well, first off, we know what Judas Iscariot and some of the other disciples. It wasn't just Judas who had started it. It was some of the other self-righteous disciples who were saying, why couldn't we have just sold that? We'd had more money for the poor. We don't neglect the poor. But Jesus said, the poor you'll always have. You only have me for a few more days. But we know Judas wasn't thinking about that. Judas is thinking, okay, if I could have went and sold that for a year's wage, folks. So in today's term, we'll give a general laborer, maybe, $25,000-$30,000 at the lower part of the... That's how much that thing was worth. A year's wages. And they were like, here's what Judas is thinking. I need to take my part. I need to get my part that I've been skimming off. See, that's what the Bible recorded is. Jesus, they all knew he was taking money out of it. But he had a purpose, and that's why Jesus held on to him. Otherwise, if I find out you're stealing from the offering, really? The people we have counted, I trust them. I trust them with my life. If I didn't, they wouldn't be counting it. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Next. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. But she loved so much, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Now, there's a couple things here. First off, obviously, kissing was a different tradition than in this country. And by the way, you need to understand something, because people, and this is why we tend to do this way. Not only does it keep people. From getting goofy with my wife or your wife or anybody else's wife. That's why we ask women, you hug women. Okay? But you need to understand something. Back in the day, if Dave came in, It was their tradition. I gave Dave a kiss. I love you, Dave, but I ain't giving you a kiss. Ain't happening. Different society, different world. I think if Richard had got a kiss when he first came in, he'd have slapped me. Boy, you don't. I'm here for her, not for you. We are in a different world. A lot of people are trying to bring this back. Personally, nah, I'm good. I had to get good with it when my boys got of a certain age. Joshua started. He said, Dad, can I not kiss you anymore? Yes. But the other two were still little. And now that they're grown, I got grandkids. But here's something that was interesting. It said, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. This is a problem I have with helicopter parents who don't want to let their children ever have life and exist. You can't ever make your own decisions. What you do is you create a monster. I knew a family, three girls, mama and papa. Mama was a smother. She was a smother with all capitals. She threatened the boyfriends, anybody that came to pick up their daughters for a date. And then when her girls started getting older and they started going out a little bit, they went nuts. They were never allowed to make their own decisions. And when you can't make your own decisions, you can't function properly until you've started learning. Hey, I've got responsibility. You know, when I got out in the world, it's like, wow, oh, wait a minute. I'm responsible for every action I do. Mom and Dad aren't responsible. I'm responsible. I'm the one who's going to hang for it. Yeah, I did stupid things. I did lots of stupid things. I showed up for formation one Friday morning without shaving. I'm 19 years old. I don't really, didn't have much facial hair. I thought, nah, ain't nobody going to see it. The sad part about it was the staff sergeant that nailed me was overweight, couldn't run. And I'm standing there and he looks at me and he says, Waddell, did you shave? No, staff sergeant, didn't think I needed to. Oh, you needed to. It was Friday, just Friday morning. We were getting off at noon for the Memorial Day weekend. We were getting 4 days off. I was in Okinawa. Not that I had anything planned. Well, since you didn't think that you needed to shave, you can spend 4 days painting the floors in the shop. So what'd they do? Well, there was a corporal in there. Having been a corporal, I will tell you, he was the most unsat and nasty thing I ever met. He was. He was in the same boat as the staff sergeant, except he was younger. Had no excuse. And all he did was sit. He just had to watch us. Me and one of my buddies. I was like, oh, hey, Dana, how you doing, buddy? We went to Motor T school together. It's like, how did you get here? I forget what stupid thing he did, but we ended up taking all the stuff out, painting the floor, moving all the stuff back in. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. We were on restriction. I learned I had to pay for my own mistakes. But after a while, I grew up. I became a man. As Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I quit acting like a child. And that's what we have to realize. We're having people being raised as children. And I'm going to tell you this flat out right now. We have parents who need to go back to learn how to be parents. I know there's one school district to the west of us. They have what they call furries now. Anybody know what that is? These are kids who identify as pets and they're pooping in the hallways. Yeah. It's legit, and I believe that school district put in litter boxes for them?
No, they didn't.
Oh, they didn't? Okay. I heard that was a request.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So this is the society we're living in. We have children telling the parents, listen, I only have one of my children in here right now. You ever poop in the hallway? See, right there. You know why? Because I raised him. I'm raising my child. Yeah, see, now the bathroom's right there in the hallway. But yeah, it would be very awkward. But that's what's starting that. This is just the tips of these icebergs. And people, adults are bowing. I don't care who you are. Be a man or a woman. I pray for you teachers. I do. Several years ago, I was taking a test to be a bus driver. I parallel parked that school bus. Oh, yeah. When do you want to go take your class? Let me think about this. And the Lord said, don't do it. Don't do it. Remember who you are first and foremost. I don't take kindly to kids back-talking. You can ask my sons. It's not a pleasant time when you back-talk. I grew up in a day and age where you back-talked bus driver, she opened the door, kicked your butt off. Yeah, it didn't, it's a different world. And yet, we're on a whole different subject. But as a Messiah, was Jesus anointed Messiah at this point? Now, hold on. She recognized him as her deliverer, as her Savior. I don't think he was. And I'll tell you why. To be anointed as something, you have to be anointed or promoted by somebody higher. When I was promoted to the rank of corporal, a PFC did not give me my promotion warrant. My promotion warrant wasn't signed by another corporal. It was signed by the colonel. He was the highest ranking person in our battalion, and he signed it. It took somebody higher than me to anoint me. It's pretty much the same thing. Instead of pouring oil on your head or whatever and knighting you, you know, Marines, we put our metal collar ranks on, and then our colonel or whoever went boom and planted them into our collarbones. You remember that. You remember the day you were promoted. Every time, the only part I didn't like about being promoted is like, oh, Lord, make sure you get that down in the meat. It won't hurt nearly as bad. Oh, that just sounds mean. Listen, Marines are psycho. You need to understand that. We're nuts. I'm not going to lie about it. There's pictures and videos of them putting them camel spiders on their tongue. No, they're crazy. You have to be to do what we do. But it took somebody higher. Now, before I get too far away from this, there was an argument I read about on who Mary was. Well, it wasn't Mary, not precious little Mary. No, it couldn't be precious little Mary. Not Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, couldn't. It's not. I even read that in the notes of my Bible, that it was not her. And the reference they gave, let's see, which ones did I give you? John 12 next? Bring that one up. We'll get there. But Jesus said to her, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. There's why he was anointed. That's what this anointing was for. Was for his burial. Now, next, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Twice, John, who was there, identified her as the woman Mary. Well, it was Mary Magdalene. No, it was Mary, the sister of Martha. Mary of Bethany. Yeah, that's who it was. Unless somewhere along the line we've confused things and Mary Magdalene and Mary, this Mary are the same Mary. But it was indeed this Mary. John identified her twice. In chapter 12, he identified her again. Because this he recorded before he even told the story. So he identified her as that Mary. Don't let anybody take your word. Tell them you want scripture. Look for it. This has been taught, and that's why others are arguing. Listen, I don't care. Luke didn't record who it was. He just said a woman named Mary from that city. Where was Mary from? That city. What was her name? Mary. She a woman? Absolutely. John identified her because John was there. Luke was not. Luke is retelling the things that he's heard and the things that he has gotten from Paul and other. Because Paul was more than likely there. Just looking for another way to get Jesus killed at that point as Saul. So it was indeed Mary. And she was extremely sorrowful. So one thing we need to understand when where I was going with this about going wild is people who have never got the chance to live, they don't really understand God's mercy. They don't understand his forgiveness. From, like I said, from about the time I was 8, I was raised in a church setting. Okay? I was not allowed to make decisions for myself at all. When I was, they'd say, it'll be your decision. I'd make my decision, and then everybody would go the other way. So I'm like, why ask me? And so, yeah, I went wild. Like, woohoo! Give me some more woohoo bars. I'm going crazy. I went down a dark road. Me and Jack, we were friends. But before I went down that road, I was the most self-righteous person you could imagine. Because I wouldn't give people mercy. That's when you're self-righteous. You think you didn't do anything wrong. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you were born wrong. We're born into the sin. Well, I've never committed a sin. Oh, yes, you have. And if you haven't, that means you're not living. If you've never made a mistake, well, you know, brother, what you're talking about. Every last one of us has lied, so don't even tell me that. Well, I maybe told a lie or two as a child. Oh, bull. You told that patrolman you thought you were doing this. When you know doggone well you were running 30 over half a mile before he nailed you. So, by learning to understand that you've been forgiven so much, you can understand God's love even more because you've received it more. Somebody who sits on the front row every Sunday, not my wife, sitting here, oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like those people behind me. Lord, I'm right here on the front row. I want to be up here where the anointing comes. Lord, I want more of you. But I don't want to know more about mercy. Then you don't know God if you don't know mercy. And that's where the Jews had gotten to. That's why Jesus used the Pharisees as examples many, many times. Sinner on this side of the road, Pharisee on the other side, and all his robes and his prayer shawls and all this stuff. And Lord, I thank you, I'm not like that sinner on the other side of the road. The sinner on the other side of the road is like, Lord, be merciful to me. He understood God's mercy. The Pharisee never did, even though he knew God's word inside and out. He knew all these details. He knew it. He taught it. But he never knew mercy. And that's why I say, you know, any people have asked my boys, are you going to be a preacher? I said, well, don't go telling them they're going. No. If God wants them to preach, he'll tell them to preach. I want my boys to be what God is raising them up to be. Are they going to take over the church? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be around. We're all going to be around here that long. But if they are, I want to know that they know mercy. I want to know that they got out and they messed up, which, by the way, they are telling me stories. I'm like, to the ones that were still at home, I'm like, you do know you still live in the house, right? Not a good idea to tell me what you've done. See, I didn't admit to anything until I got out. I'm like, yeah. I did stupid things and potentially dangerous. All right. So we do know it was Mary, that this anointing was not for the Messiah. It was just to prepare him for the burial. Luke chapter 3, 22. John the Baptist is out baptizing one day in the river. And he's already been told that when he sees the Holy Spirit come upon a certain man, he will know that that is the deliverer. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been likened to as anointing. Remember what I said. It takes somebody higher to anoint you. Back when I got my ordination, the state of Ohio thinks, all government thinks they're above God. Just keep that in mind. They all do. And that's why that you want to be ordained? Get online. Pay your $50. Take a 25-minute course. Bada bing, bada boom. You can be ordained to marry anybody you want. I didn't get into this to marry and bury people, I'll tell you right now. But God told me to go to a certain pastor. And before I got to that man, God had told that pastor, he said, "Don't you turn him away." It was me and another guy. The other guy was from Kentucky. He said, "I'm sending you two. Do not turn him away." Because he says, "Lord, I don't do that." He said, "You do now." And so what it took, well, anyhow, going back to the ordination, when I started reading about it, I could have had this body ordain me. But is that proper? I'm not saying I'm above you, but I am the pastor. And I know people who have actually done this kind of stuff. But what it took was somebody who was already a pastor. Somebody who's been in it for 30 years, who'd already known, and he called and he checked and he called around this county about me, and it took that. He laid hands on me. And at this point, we see Jesus is baptized. Not because he was a sinner. And the Holy Spirit came down upon him. At this moment, God ordained, God anointed, God promoted his son. From that of a 30-year-old carpenter to a 30-year-old Messiah, the deliverer. Because immediately he went left from there, and where did he go? Do you remember? He went out into the wilderness to be tempted. He fasted and he was tempted. And when he had passed all that, the angels ministered to him. We know this. But then the next Sabbath came and he went into the synagogue there in Nazareth. And he stood up and it says, and he was handed the book of Isaiah. He unrolls that scroll to Isaiah. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he reads this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, he was, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was anointed as the Messiah, as the deliverer. We know things can happen just through faith in God. But the ability to lead people to deliverance. He said, I came to set you free. Man, if you're in a prison, you've been locked up in a prison for 30 years, and you know there's not much of a chance you getting out, and somebody comes along and says, hey, I got the key. Do you want to get out? Duh. Come on. Come on, let's go. You got to follow me, or else you'll end up back in there. See, that's where we make our critical mistake with salvation. Oh, I want to keep hanging around these old people. I'm not saying you can't have friends. How are they going to know? Right? How are people going to know that who Christ is unless they see him in you? So if you cut those people out of your life completely, they won't know. But if they're the ones bringing you back, you're the one at fault. When you've been delivered from something, you don't go back to it. You know, I've never been in jail, but I can't imagine it's pleasant. I mean, even in an exercise that we did for terrorism in the Philippines, all they did was pulled me to the ground on the stones, face first, hog-tied me with zip ties. And this was play. And let me tell you, it wasn't pleasant. The rocks hurt. The rocks are real. His knee in my back was real. I didn't volunteer for it anymore. You let somebody else go play Rambo. I'm going to stay in here with my truck. So I can't imagine what it's like to be with a tiny little window. If any window at all, with food that is bland and nasty. I can't imagine not having freedom. But then when somebody says, hey, Michelle, I've got freedom. Do you want it? Absolutely, I do. But you can't go back and do the things that got you back here. Is that good? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been in here 20 years. I don't want to go back. So why do we? We've been delivered. Why do we keep going back? Because we don't realize Jesus is the Messiah. He's the deliverer. He came to set us free and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's acceptable. But that means we're also supposed to lead people to him. But let me caution you. When we do this, we need to understand there has to be a balance. When Angela and I were in North Carolina, we were looking at buying a photography studio. I was already working there, and she was already working there. And they were grooming us to take it over. We were doing almost two weddings a weekend. And that didn't include the studio work. And anyhow, as we were doing it, it was our pastor's mom, and she told us, she said, I keep telling mom this, and you guys have got to put your foot down with her. She will do them Saturday and Sunday. Now, she'd already had a mini stroke, okay, so she had an eye that twitched all the time now because of that stroke. And she said, mom will work herself silly, and she will work you silly. She said, I've told mom this time and time again. People don't respect your time. You have to put your foot down and say no more Sundays. And I had to. Because there was at one point I was working three jobs, 6 days a week. It was like, I realize I'm 23, 24 years old, but I'm going to pull my hair out. Money was good. And so we did. We had to put our foot down. And I believe God was starting to show us, this is what has to happen. I got to know several pastors, some of them local and here, and, you know, and they would talk to me and they'd tell me about people that are in their lives that don't respect their time. One man, his friend out of state, would call him at 2 a.m. while he's asleep. And he did it every Saturday night. And he would spend until daylight whining about his life. He's a believer. And my friend kept taking his calls. I don't know what to do. I said, yeah, I do. Don't answer it. I said, I'm not trying to be a jerk. But I said, first off, you got to get up in the morning and preach. That is your job. Those people that are in there, they deserve that from you. And not only that, this man does not respect what you're telling him. I have a woman who calls me every time her life goes sideways. I'm like, well, God has been telling me and showing me for years, this is what your problem is. You got to deal with it. Oh, a week later, things kind of simmered down. Oh, well, hallelujah, praise God, Jesus interceded. No, he didn't. Because 6 months later, you're in the same boat. She does not respect my time, does not respect my counsel. So I'm done with telling her what to do. Oh, you're mean. You know, letting go of the seat of my son's bicycle for the first time, I had to trust. And unfortunately, the only one I ever got to do that with was Joshua, because he taught the others. They all kind of boop, boop. Well, when did you learn to ride a bike? But when he was pedaling that bike, we've even got a picture of it. I really don't have the seat. He's just a riding and he's just a pedaling that bike. He was 3 years old. Boy, he was just excited. He was laughing, and I'm trying to run and keep up with him. And it looked like I was holding the seat, but I wasn't. I was trying to let go. I was trying to let him grow up to be a big boy. The big boy that would later build a ramp off the side of our driveway here in town, which had a wall about that tall to the neighbor's yard. He'd build a ramp off of it and jump. Boy, after my own heart. But I had to. Because one day, he bought a motorcycle. And then one day, he moved out. But if I hadn't let go of that seat, he had never grown up. Sometimes we have to let go of the seat. We can still be there. Because there were a couple times I caught him just before he went down. But eventually he had his first bike wreck. I had so many, I don't remember my first bike wreck. I can tell you right now, they all hurt. But I had to let go of that seat for him to grow up and be a man. And sometimes we have to do that. I think the Holy Spirit's moving over there in the little guy's room. It's the first sound we've ever heard from him over there, so I'm happy. I think. Go in there and the teachers are hanging from the ceiling. Help! But I want you to understand that was the first thing that God told us when we started. God told me, he said, I gave you a family first. I gave you them first, and then I gave you them. And if they don't respect your time with your family, and there's been several who have crossed that line, they aren't here anymore. They didn't respect my time. Just showed up whenever, it wasn't like they were unloading their worldly problems. They came and made accusations to my face at my dining room table. Kind of hurt. I'm not going to lie. As Carmen sang in that song, you know, he sang about the bikini and the cotton, and he said, the devil went full throttle. I've seen more cotton in an aspirin bottle of their bikinis. I ain't going to lie, I'm sitting there holding on to the table, and the devil was twisting that throttle as hard as he wanted. and I let him go. I'd say I've grown, but didn't mean it didn't hurt, and I had to let go of him. You think you know more than me. Listen, all of us in here should know the Bible. We should know it. We should be reading it. But just because you read it doesn't mean you know it. It does not mean that whatsoever. I don't care who you are. Because the man who helped organize, I read the New King James, and they had scholars, people that I respect, teachers, write, help bring in the notes and things for this, the study Bible. And they even said it wasn't Mary of Bethany. Clearly in John, it was. Twice. John made sure people knew that it was her. But because we want to put people on pedestals. See, we still like to put our prophets and our apostles on those pedestals around the walls like the Romans did their dead emperors. We still do that to people. We got to stop it. If you don't have a past, I feel for you. Because a past means you lived. And you're going to have some mercy for people. I have mercy for people who are battling alcoholism. I really do. I expect you to change, though. I don't think, it's not that I don't think I can't control it anymore. I know absolutely I could control it. It's I don't want to perpetuate that. So I don't. Because I know my dear friend Vicky was dying. And God gave her a second chance. And it was alcohol that was killing her. She was in the hospital and they were saying, say goodbye to your mom. And here she sits today because of what God did for her. And she's never went back. So that's why I tell you, don't go back to what you were doing. When you've been set free, you got... Sometimes you do got to cut the ties, right, guys? 100%. You got to cut it. Nope. When I quit drinking, you know how many friends I lost? All of them. I was the same guy. I could be fun. Just something changed there with them. I don't know. But they just didn't want to hang out with me anymore. Yeah, that's fine. When they quit wanting to hang out, it pushed me back to God's people. Because, like it or not, we need people. God said that in Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone. So be careful when you're helping people. We're all called to help people be delivered, but you've got to set the boundaries. Without the boundaries, people don't respect your time. I've had people, because they knew me. Oh, can I come in? I don't want to talk to people before service. It's nothing personal. If I'm in my office, I'm studying. And not because I don't know what I'm talking about that day. It's just, this is my final push. I always did better on tests when I studied a little bit before. Not 2 days before. 2 days before, I done forgot it. I don't remember what why was. Let alone why I'm looking for what it equals. But I'm just getting my mind ready. But there have been people that thought because they knew me, oh, can I talk to him? No, it should be no. No, no, you may not. He's busy, just you'll have to catch him later. They didn't respect what I had to say. They never have. So, I'm still friends. I'm just like, I've told you. Is that all I can say? And having said all that, if I could have the prayer request, Bob, we're going to go before the Lord. And by the way, Miss Faye sends her love. I spoke with her yesterday, and she is doing much, much better. She told me, she said, I feel human today. And I actually got to stop by, and she said, and you even get the blessing. I showered today. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Not that it would have mattered, but she was looking much better, much better. And so, yeah. And obviously, I mean, I know there's a few other people not feeling well. I was going to say, well, spring fever has hit people. Anybody overdo it yesterday? I started to, and then I went down and cut down an apple tree. So I'm going to keep working on that fear. And I'm glad I cut that apple tree down. It was hollow. It's like, oh, yeah, this is bad. And it's right over our fire pit. If you're at night sitting there and it hangs over top of you, you've already had a tree fall on you once. Yeah. Ain't happening again. I'll cut you down. Praise God. Okay. And again, folks, just because we pray for something here, that don't mean you stop believing. Don't start worrying about it. Go when God opens the doors. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm watching God move in people's lives. And everybody's sitting around, oh, it's the wrong time. You shouldn't be doing that. Let me tell you what they were telling Isaac when he planted fields of wheat in a drought. That's the wrong time. You shouldn't be doing that. He received a hundredfold harvest. He was the only one who received a harvest. You do when God tells, when God says. Amen. All right, let's go before the Lord, shall we? Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, the name above all names, our deliverer. Our Redeemer, our Messiah. Now, Father, we thank you that we can come to you in that name. And we can come knowing that whatever we ask you in that name, you will do it. Father, whether it happens the way we think it should happen or not is immaterial. So, Father, right now I pray for Chris. Lord, I pray that you begin to move in his life. Father, I pray that you begin to open the doors that need to be opened. And Father, I pray right now that you visit him. Father, you show him what he needs, what he's supposed to do. Lord, I thank you that you're beginning to make the way where there didn't seem to be a way. But Father, I pray that in his obedience, he will see the redemption of you. And Father, I pray for Josh and Whitney and ask, Lord, that as they go into this appointment, Lord, that your hand be upon them. Father, you show the doctors what is and what isn't. Father, I pray right now that as they're learning more about this situation, Father, that you are moving in their lives. You're moving in their favor. In Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for Teresa's back. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now you touch it, Father. The nerves, I speak life. The muscles, life. The vertebrae, life. Everything, life in that back, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, you're touching her. You're healing her. Father, you're showing her, first off, what not to do anymore. But Lord, I thank you that even things that are degenerative, Lord, you're restoring the strength of her spine in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for the Pollock family. Lord, I pray right now as they're experiencing this sudden loss of their father. Lord, I pray that you minister peace and love to them, Lord. I'm assuming there's children and even younger children and involved in this, Lord. I pray that you minister to that family right now. Father, I pray that you wrap your arms around them, Father, and comfort them. Lord, we thank you for moving in their lives. And Father, we continue to bless Israel. Father, we don't have to agree with politics. We just have to bless Israel. Lord, we pray that you move Israel into the position where they are in your hand. Father, for their protection. Lord, I pray that as her enemies are mounting, Lord, that Israel is blessed and protected. Father, and we, as the people of God, stand with Israel. Lord, we pray for that peace. And now, Lord, we thank you for the things you're doing in this country. Father, the things that are being unraveled, the works of the enemy, Lord, I thank you for the child pornography bust by Bucyrus. Lord, I thank you for what's happening, Lord, right now, that these people that are peddling our children, Lord, they're being brought to their knees. But Father, I pray before destruction that maybe they will find you first. Father, I thank you that they still are redeemable. But Father, this is a tough road to hoe. Help us all to be able to pray for them and not pray your judgment on them immediately. But Father, I thank you that it's being stopped. Father, I thank you that even as parents and grandparents, we are keeping our eyes open, not only on our children, but other people's children. Father, and we will have the intestinal fortitude to say something instead of letting somebody walk off with somebody else's child. That, Lord, instead of being caught up in our own little world, we'll pay attention to what's going on around us. Lord, and that includes the human trafficking. Father, even adults that are being moved in and they're being forced into labor, they're being kept as slaves, even in this country, Father. Now, Lord, I also thank you that you're moving in Ukraine. Father, that the believers there are rallying together and they are helping each other. They're helping their fellow countrymen. Lord, we continue to pray for protection for Ukraine. Lord, that this great bear will be deflected. Father, I thank you right now that even if they tell us it's costing us, it's just an excuse by a tyrannical antichrist to try to break your people. Lord, I thank you that you're providing. Lord, may praise come off of our lips when we see the gas, when we finally see the gas bill. Lord, may we thank you that we can pray, that we can pay that bill. Lord, because we have a covenant with you. Lord, I thank you that you're protecting your people. That, Lord, we will be able to afford the things we have to have. Father, you're even bringing blessing. When the world is crying, disaster, disaster, your people will see blessing and prosperity because of the covenants we have with you. And now, Father, I also pray that this door it needs to open, Father, that it will be opened. Father, and any other doors that are not of you, they will be closed. Father, and if the door that needs to be opened is one that is not more readily chosen because it's not what we want, then may we realize that and follow you through that door to see your glorious salvation. Lord, I thank you to be a part of this country. Lord, I do pray for our leadership, our government, from the very top to the very bottom, Lord. I don't agree with many of them, but I do pray for them. I pray for our judges, Lord, that their decisions, Father, would be affected by you. Lord, I thank you. I know there's things that I don't fully understand and they're going to happen. But I thank you that you're in all this. You knew it was going to happen. You knew we'd be alive at this time in history. And Father, and that you have anointed us through your Holy Spirit to be here today, to stand here today. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this body. Now, Lord, I also pray for those who are sick and from here today. Lord, I pray that your anointing touch them. Lord, I thank you. You're moving in Faye's life right now, Father. But for everybody else who's under the weather, Father, they're not feeling good, I pray right now peace in their lives, and I curse sickness and disease and speak life into their bodies right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, you may stand. I was getting warm. Praise God. So remember this week, as you see things coming across the news, first off, just watch what you need to. You don't need to be opening up your mind and pouring in CNN, Fox, and ABC, and CBS all the time. Shut it. Get the Word of God in you. And understand, God knew things were going to happen. Angela and I were talking about this, and I will end here. We were talking about this the other day. I think, who did that song? Chicoli?
Oh, the...
My life, or God is in control.
Oh.
No, I don't think it was her. But anyhow, most of us know the song, God is in control. Well, no. God is in charge. We're in control. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe your Bible then, because Adam said, it's yours, Adam. That means it's in control. When I turned over the steering wheel to Justin a few months back, it's yours, buddy. You've got control of this truck. I'm in charge. I'll tell you to slow it down. I'll tell you how to turn. I will tell you all this, won't I? All my boys had to do that. I'm in charge. I own the truck, but you're in control of it. And your date's coming due, and who else? So you got, yeah. You'd be sitting over there, oh, Jesus. I hope they still put the Dear Jesus handles in the vehicles. But God is in charge. He left us in control. And we need to understand that. It's not happening because of him. It's happening because of us. And just remember that. Well, how bad things are happening. Yeah, it's because man is in charge or in control of it. But when Jesus returns as King of Kings, not only will he rule, he will reign. That's what that means. Reigns. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for your word. Father, how it encourages us. Father, how it shows us the truth of who you are, how it illuminates who you are to us. Father, I pray that each and every last one of us, we will get hold of you as our deliverer, as our Messiah. Father, you sent the anointed one. You sent Jesus to be the anointed one. And now, Father, we are grateful for that. We thank you for the work Jesus did. And we are looking forward to when he does come back to rule and reign. And now, Father, I thank you for all the people here today. Lord God, I bless them. Father, I pray that you move in their lives in miraculous ways. Father, touch them, reach out into their lives, and lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.